Jason, break up the Chicago Bears. They beat the Bills 38-0 in the second preseason game of the year. But most importantly, their first teamers played and played well. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, we're sitting in the press box looking down upon an empty Soldier Field where hours ago the Bears put a whooping on the Bills 38-0. Caleb Williams started, played two drives, marched 92 yards for a touchdown on the first, and I think escaped with everybody feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, I always think, Patrick, when we're watching preseason games, what are you looking for out of a preseason game? So if we go back to 2021 when Justin Fields was the quarterback, you're looking for signs that this guy can be a threat at the NFL level. And you saw some of that. You saw little flashes of it. Caleb Williams last year, you're looking for signs of the potential that you've seen on TV at Southern Cal and that you've heard about and that you've seen that, you know, all of the scouts and experts and everybody rave about. You're looking for, are we going to see some of that? And you saw it last year with the throw to Roma Dunze here against the Bengals. With a second-year quarterback, with Caleb Williams in his second year, his first year with Ben Johnson, you're looking for indicators that this is going well. You're looking for indicators that things are clicking. And you have not gotten a lot of that in practices, in training camp. He was pretty good Friday against the Bills. Today, and I don't think you mentioned this, but I think everybody knows this, today that time that he was out there, or Sunday when he was out there against the Bills in the game, it was against their second string. So it really should look good, but it did. Yep. It looked the way it should look. That doesn't mean plan the parade route. That doesn't mean, oh, we're out of the woods with the Caleb and Ben kind of turbulence, trying to understand each other and Caleb trying to pick up this offense. But it is an indication that things are headed the right way. And it's probably going to be the last of those because I couldn't imagine Caleb Williams playing Friday in Kansas City.
No, I think turning around in a short week, especially after playing a night game on Sunday and expecting any of your starters to play is probably silly. I wrote this in the paper, Jason, and I think it's true. I think this offense really needed a reason. They needed to feel good about themselves. And, you know, we have seen too many up and down days at practice for Caleb and for everybody. I mean, we talk about this, you know, pre-snap operation of theirs, and it does fall on Caleb, but ultimately, you know, there's a left tackle who's getting a false start. Luther Burden's lining up in the wrong place. There's enough blame to go around. And I felt like they needed a little bit of confidence.
Caleb felt that way. Caleb said that after the game, didn't he?
Yeah. He said they wanted to set the tone for the season. And they did. And they did so. There was one penalty in the two drives that the first team offense played. It was a holding penalty on the center, Drew Dahlman. So that's not an operational issue. Caleb finishes 6-for-10 for 107 yards, a touchdown, and a passer rating of 130. He didn't like the throw he made to Roma Dunze just past the first down marker on his second drive on 3rd and 5. Dunze dove for it. It kind of went through both of his hands. Caleb said he made a bad throw. I would argue to you that Roma Dunze would probably say that he should catch that. And if he catches that, you know, maybe they keep going. But, you know, as it is, this is about all you could ask for. And, you know, they escaped, you know, their starting group escaped very healthy. You know, we can't say that
starting
about the backups.
Yeah. Three plays.
Three plays. They gave up 1 yard and they got off the field. I think that's a good day's work for them, and we'll talk about the defense here in a sec, Jason, but they have a different standard in this preseason than the offense does. They're not learning something out of whole cloth necessarily the way that Caleb and the offense is, and they're filled with veterans who, you know, quite frankly, or you know, could probably roll out of bed tomorrow and play in the first game of the season.
Caleb Williams has so much to learn, and I think the most encouraging part of the situation right now with him and Ben Johnson is that Caleb knows that. Caleb has gotten his wish to be coached harder and, for his part, seems to be very receptive to it, even when it hasn't been going well. He has this recognition, Patrick, that he is now getting expert coaching that he was not getting as a rookie. And I would think that this is the highest level of coaching expertise he has ever gotten, even going back through college with Lincoln Riley. And think nothing against Lincoln Riley, but the entire league is telling you in this past how many off seasons, three off seasons, that Ben Johnson is the next great offensive coach.
Right.
And that Ben Johnson's way is the right way, and the Bears had to pay him $13 million to get him away from Tom Brady and some other teams. So I think Caleb recognizes that he's getting the coaching that he needs and that the feedback is really clear. There's no more going along thinking you're doing the right thing when really you're not. Just no one wants to tell you that. He is getting coached like any other young quarterback and not like he is this one-of-a-kind, once every few years prospect who everybody is bowing to. And he may really actually be that. He may prove to be this kind of once every few years talent in the draft, but it's not going to materialize on the field, I don't think, without this kind of coaching. And I think he knows that.
This is a small thing, but in Ben Johnson's press conference, before he ever said Caleb's name, he said, "I thought all the quarterbacks played well." You know, that's the sort of not putting him on a pedestal sort of thing that I think goes with, like you said, the hard coaching. The other thing is, you know, Caleb has hinted at this, and DJ Moore has flat out said it, and other people have too. Ben Johnson's kind of a pain in the butt if he's your head coach. Like, he is cursing them out on the headset. He is stopping practice when the smallest thing goes wrong. And that he has the cachet to do that. And the fact that he's doing it, I'm sure, is annoying in the moment. But this team that begged for hard coaching last year. Literally.
Three weeks into the season.
Yeah. The first day of week three, they're talking about it. They've got it, and while I'm sure it's made their lives uncomfortable, I think that them starting to see the progress that comes as a result of it is a really good thing.
We've had this conversation several times, Patrick. Whatever way the Bears have been doing things has gotten them nowhere.
Right.
It's gotten them, what, 15 wins in three seasons? Something like that?
If that, yeah.
Yeah, it has gotten them nothing. Mm-hmm. So there is nothing to cling to about the way the Bears have been operating. So if Ben Johnson's going to come in and shake things up, thank you,
yeah,
is what they should all be saying to him for that. I think that that's what they need. I think that this roster was better than its record last year and grossly underperformed, mostly because of Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron, but also there's some blame on the players there too. Mm-hmm. And I think some stuff is going to get cleaned up now, and it should be.
Yeah, and it's whether, I mean, and I've been doing a lot of thinking about Caleb. You and I talk about Caleb almost every day.
I wake up every day thinking about Caleb.
Whether this works or doesn't work, time's going to tell, and I think it's going to be months and not weeks before we know for sure whether it's a great fit between Ben and Caleb and the offense.
Can I just say something? Can I interrupt that for a second? Just for everybody listening, if you're impatient about this, let me just tell you a fact. Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams will be in their same roles next year.
Right.
Caleb Williams is already your starting quarterback 2026. So this is not going to be decided in September or October of this year.
Right. I think if they're lucky, they'll know by December, hey, we are set for the next 10 years. And I think if they don't know, I'm not sure that that's an abject failure. These things take time. But boy, you talk about throwing money at the right play caller, at the right head coach. You throw money at a center and two guards. You're really giving this kind of the honest shot that it deserves.
That it deserved last year.
Maybe save for one position, and that's the left tackle spot.
Oh, man.
Look at this turn.
Boy,
I just
you
made.
You brought up a big problem, didn't you? I felt so uplifted about listening to us talk. I was like, this is going better, this is going better. And then you brought up this enormous problem.
The Chicago Bears have never been one, at least in the 13 years I've been here, to actually throw real resources in a left tackle spot. You had Charles Leno, who I think was a 7th-round pick. You've now got Braxton Jones, who was a 5th, and he was competing with Ozzie Trapillo, but probably not anymore because I think Ozzie's out of this running right now. So it's now Braxton and Theo Benedict, who a year and a half ago was playing Canadian college football.
Yeah. If it's Braxton or Theo Benedict, then it's Braxton.
I think it's Braxton, and he started tonight. He got beat a couple times, but it was fine, I guess. And Ben Johnson, after the game, was talking about there are days when Braxton looks the way he looked last year, and there are days when he doesn't.
Well, what does that even mean, the way he looked last year? Because I wasn't in love with Braxton Jones last year.
I thought he was...
Pat, they've been trying to replace Braxton Jones ever since they gave him the job.
I think Braxton last year was a C+, B-, and I think they'd kill for C+ or B- compared to what we have seen thus far.
I know that Braxton got hurt, and then that was very disruptive then to his off-season preparation for this new offense and the body type that they wanted him to have.
Right.
But, Patrick, my lasting image of Braxton Jones is Jared Verse just handling him on this field that we're looking at right now. Jared Verse was a rookie. And he's very good.
He wound up being amazing, yeah.
I mean, how many times have you seen somebody bull rush Braxton Jones into the backfield?
Yeah, well, Braxton has been telling us since his rookie year that that's the one thing he has trouble with.
He's been telling the league that every Sunday.
And so Ben says, you know, he's inconsistent, but, you know, who else do they have? And I would argue to you right now, they have nobody else.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, Theo Benedict was the backup left tackle today. Ozzie Trapillo played on the second team as the backup right tackle. Ben came out Friday and said, this guy's more comfortable on the right side because that's what he did in college. He's playing faster. His feet are faster. On the left side, it's just too slow. It looks to me, Jason, like the Bears have their answer. And I'm not sure they're thrilled about it.
I saw it when I was watching pregame warmups on Sunday. Something about the way they were lined up was like reversed. Yeah. And I saw Darnell Wright at left tackle, at what I thought was left tackle, until I realized that they had just finished a drill and were going back the way they came or something like that. And I thought, man, shouldn't they have just gone to that from the start when they drafted him? Shouldn't they have said, we're spending the number 10 pick on this guy? Was he 10 or 9? He was 10, right?
Yeah.
Because they from 9 to 10.
Who could they have drafted? Oh, Jalen Carter. All right, anyway, moving on. Yep.
The way that I know that the Eagles are playing a game on TV is because I get a text from Lawrence Holmes about Jalen Carter. That's how I know. I think that at the time, I was thinking, okay, well, they're spending a pick this high on an offensive tackle. They must be thinking, play Darnell Wright at left tackle and move Braxton. And they never did. And I think it's kind of too late now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely too late for this season. You're looking at what they've got and you think, boy, maybe the solution would be Darnell Wright over on the left side. You can't make that change in late August.
No. And it's also, I think that it's not like Ozzie Trapillo has been undeniable as a backup right tackle. You know, it'd be one thing if they sat there and went, this guy's just killing it on the right side. We got to find a way to get him in the lineup. But they haven't. Caleb was protected well today, wasn't sacked. I think he was touched once. And the O-line looked pretty good. And that was without Joe Tooney, their big acquisition, who I think he and Grady Jarrett, by sheer virtue of them having played a lot of years in the league, didn't have to play tonight.
Here's how Caleb will be better protected even with Braxton Jones out there than he was last year. One, I have far more confidence in Ben Johnson, the play caller, to navigate a problem like that. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a huge, huge problem. Mm-hmm. Please don't underestimate what a big problem that was. That is, if you remember the last time the Bears went into a season with this much of a question mark at left tackle, it was 2021, and they were a disaster because of it, in large part because of it. There were other problems, but that was a big one. I think that the interior line being fixed with three new people who all come in with excellent credentials will take care of, obviously, the problem right in the middle. But I think it'll also make Braxton Jones a little bit better. And it will make the running game better than it was, which will also buy Caleb Williams a little bit of time in the pocket when he passes. Because if the Bears are establishing themselves as a team that can run, it will keep defenses guessing a little bit. There'll be some hesitation. He'll get that extra half a second on play action.
The following is a list of Bears running backs who touched the ball today.
Oh, yeah. On Sunday, this is not good.
Ready? Ian Wheeler. Britton Brown. Deion Hankins. That's your list, Jason.
DeAndre Swift played but
nominally.
Yeah, he didn't get the ball, which is probably good. Mm-hmm. But they're pretty beat up. I mean, yeah.
Roschon Johnson's hurt. Travis Homer's hurt. Kyle Manongai came off the field Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Johnson said he didn't believe that it was a long-term serious thing, but he didn't play.
They still do have about 2 weeks, 3 weeks till the season starts. Yeah.
Hankins came in right as soon as Swift came out, which is to say like four plays.
You're saying that name funny.
Hankins?
Yeah, Hankins.
Hankins?
I think it's Hankins.
Hankins, not Hankins.
You're saying it funny.
Anyway, it's like I'm saying it like napkins.
Hankins.
Hankins. Anyway, Hankins came in, and there's a Caleb threw a ball to him in the flat and threw it behind him and kind of got him hurt. So he had to leave. So, I mean, Bears were down to their fifth or sixth running backs. You know, in the preseason, that's kind of the most fungible position, I think. You know, they can run kind of anybody out there. But by the time the season starts, I think they need a sense of what they have behind Swift. And I don't have that sense right now. I mean, as you know, Jason, I'm a big Kyle Manongai. I don't want to say fan, but I'm intrigued by him.
You think he's good. You're buying on Kyle Manongai, who is a seventh-round pick.
I think he's good. Now, I think they think he's good.
Think he's good.
I do. Yeah. But
I think he's a willing... Why are you being so sheepish about it? It's okay that you think he's good. He's a seventh-round pick. You're buying in on him. Was mm-hmm. he 38th or something like that?
The 38th running back, something like that. Yep.
But that's okay. They need, like, let's just say DeAndre Swift plays how they want him to play this year.
Mm-hmm.
They still need a short yardage power back, and they still need a number two running back in case DeAndre Swift gets hurt, like almost all running backs do all the mm-hmm. time. So right now, that guy's not on the field for them at all. Because it would be Roschon Johnson, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't him, it would be Kyle Manongai. And if you were really in a pinch, it would either be Travis Homer or you go sign somebody off someone else's practice squad. I mean, I don't know if they have a solid answer on their number two running back, even if everybody's healthy.
Right.
And if they're not healthy, then you really got to look at things. And this is the time. This is the window between now and August 26th, cut day, when you see this has been a trend ever since they got rid of the, what would you call them, like layered cuts or progressive cuts, where they would cut from 90 to 75 by a certain date. And instead, it's just one big cut at the end. One of the trends that has emerged since they started doing that are these little micro trades, mm-hmm. where you trade a seventh round pick for a guy that somebody else is going to cut, so that you can secure that you're getting him. I would really watch the Bears right now for that with running backs.
The other great thing about them changing the different waves of cuts is that the Saturday of Labor Day is no longer the final cut day, Jason. Just from a pure lifestyle decision. That's one of the great things that ever happened to sports writers.
Yes. I was going to say, for us, they don't care. People don't care about that.
I care, Ashley. Yeah, you're right. They may need to go get somebody. And, you know, we saw last week where they signed two corners and two safeties on the same day just because they were running out of dudes. I wouldn't be surprised if at the very least we see them out of running back.
How many running backs do they have right now for the Kansas City game on Friday?
Ian Wheeler, Britton Brown, and the guy whose last name I'm saying wrong.
Hankins.
And Manungai. I mean,
that's
Manungai,
probably enough.
Yeah, I mean, Manungai could come back too, but you know, if they think he's made the team, they probably wouldn't play him.
There'd be no point.
Yeah. Speaking of corners, Jason, Terrell Smith had what appeared to be a non-contact knee injury today. Ben Johnson said after the game it didn't look good.
He said thoughts and prayers. That's not usually part of the injury report.
Yeah.
Unless things are really bad. He had to be carted off.
Obviously, your mind goes to an ACL tear.
That's a big piece for them, too. Yep. I mean, Terrell Smith, one of the things that Ryan Poles has gotten right is corner. Mm-hmm. Man, they have gone from nothing to everything at corner. You always hear every coach in the league say you can never get enough corners. The Bears might actually have enough corners because Terrell Smith is a starter on most teams.
Yeah.
And so you have right now Jalen Johnson's out. What if Jalen Johnson missed week one? You'd still feel pretty confident if you're the Bears because you've got Nashawn Wright, Tyreek Stevenson, Terrell Smith. You got Josh Blackwell as an option. You assume Kyler Gordon will be back. Terrell Smith was challenging Tyreek Stevenson for first-team reps This training camp, and probably, I mean, it seems like every training camp.
This week, he was playing with the starters at times this week.
I mean, that's what they think of him, and they don't have that anymore now. Probably for I would assume that is going to be a long-term injury.
Yeah, it's bad news. Another thing you can never have too many of is edge rushers, Jason. And Austin Booker and Dominique Robinson both came out today. What was an ankle on both?
Robinson's okay.
He's fine.
I'm not sure about Booker right now.
Booker has 4 sacks in 2 preseason games. I don't know whether he is a situational pass rusher for them or not. He lacks the traditional size of a Dennis Allen defensive end. But, you know, it's pretty hard to argue with what he's been able to put on film.
The last 2 preseasons, he's done it against the backups. They have desperately needed pass rushers, and he has not played to this point. So I don't really know what he's going to develop into. I'm more concerned with, when you look at their starting pass rushers, Montez Sweat and Dio Odengbo, Dennis Allen, I think, kind of has to solve the same problem that Matt Eberflus faced, where you have Montez Sweat, but you have a guy, in this case with Odengbo, that's unproven.
Mm-hmm.
3 sacks last year, 16 for his career with the Colts, 16 and a half, I think. I don't know that he unlocks all these things for Montez Sweat.
No, I think they're going to blitz a lot.
And that's not great.
No, I don't think that's what any defensive coordinator wants. Sweat on the inside, or Odengbo on the inside with another edge rusher on the field next to him on obvious passing downs, I think is a really good idea. The problem is, if you don't have that extra pass rusher, what are you doing? This is talk show fodder, but I'll throw it at you real quick. They can't afford Trey Henderson.
I knew you were going to say that name.
They can't afford him unless they trade an expensive player going out.
What do you think the price is? What do you think the draft picks?
Well, from what you read, they're looking for players and picks. So, I mean,
If they want a first-round pick as part of that trade, then I don't think the Bears can do that.
No.
I don't think they're at a point where they can say, yeah, let's mortgage our future for now. I don't think they're there yet.
For the privilege of writing him the check that he's looking for, too, which is a complicating factor there. I think this defense has looked really good during the preseason, but, you know, in real game situations, when you need to get a sack on 3rd and 6, I don't have any inkling that they're going to be dominant at all.
We're going to find out real fast about the defense because they play a bunch of good offensive teams. The Vikings were a good offensive team last year. I'm not sure what they'll be with J.J. McCarthy at quarterback. Kevin O'Connell usually knows what he's doing over there. The Lions in week 2. You've got the Commanders. You've got, I think they play 5 top 10 offenses from last year in their first 8 games, Patrick. So that's going to tell the truth real quick about whether Dennis Allen is doing a better job with mostly the same personnel than Matt Eberflus was.
And boy, if he does end up doing a good job with them, that's one more reflection on how things went sideways with Eberflus. Jason,
I don't think this defense was, just aesthetically what we've seen from it in this first month, and I'm curious if you agree with this. Just the look and the vibe of this defense, it's exciting. And it's been a little while since the defense was exciting here with the Bears. It's so much of a different tone than it was with Matt Eberflus. That's how I see it. Is that what you're seeing? Sunday night they played 3 plays. I'm talking about the whole month where we've been watching training camp.
I hate to speak ill of the Tampa 2 defense, Jason, because I know that Lovie Smith turned that into a Super Bowl berth here. But I think one of the things that I don't love about watching that, and that was the scheme that Eberflus coached, was that it just felt like conceding, okay, you're going to have to dink and dunk your way all the way down the field. That's not an exciting watch, necessarily. Here, lining Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon and Tyreek Stevenson, who was a great press corner in college, lining them up man-to-man, I think is a very good, exciting thing. As, by the way, for can we explain the noise?
I mean, you might as well, because it's distracted you from work, so go ahead.
there are cleaning people going through the press box, and they just cleaned a toilet, Jason, in an adjoining room. Because I just heard a flushing noise, and I just wanted to assure the people that we are not doing this in the bathroom.
We are not. We are doing it bathroom adjacent.
Yes. Did anything jump out at you beyond what we've hit?
Tyson Bagent looked really good.
Yep.
He's looked better and better throughout camp. I think that that is a quality backup quarterback for you if you're the Bears, whether it's for a game or for four games if it comes up at some point. I think that he has won that job as the backup quarterback over Case Keenum, and not by default.
No.
I think he's really on top of it, and I think that's a good safety net if Caleb Williams misses any time.
Yeah, I think you have a head coach who needs strong quarterback play across the board, and you know, to whatever Bears meathead fan in your life is trying to tell you that they should trade him to a team that needs a starting quarterback, I think in this league you need two quarterbacks.
Well, the other thing too, Patrick, is you're not getting anything for him, I don't think, at this point. You're not getting much.
Right.
No one is trading for him as their starter,
right,
which is how you'd get a second-round pick. And if you're trading him to somebody else to be their backup, you know, why not just keep him as
your
backup?
Yeah, to what end? Exactly. Yeah, he looked good, led them to three scoring drives in the first half, and then a field goal, I believe, in the second, finished with a passer rating of 103.6. Jason, we've got Kansas City road trip coming up. You and I will be there, and we will be at practice this week. There's a padded practice Wednesday that I believe is going to be their last one of training camp. Is that – that's about right.
These practices are going to be very interesting to me. I like sitting here and looking at – you know, if I was – let me tell you who I think has had a good camp, and you tell me yes or no, okay?
Okay.
On offense, Zacchaeus?
Yes.
Odunze?
Yes.
And Loveland?
Yeah, absolutely.
And on defense, I would say Wright, Byard, Brisker, and Jarrett.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't argue with any of those. I think I'd add Tremaine Edmonds. With the idea of he has gotten his hand on a lot of balls during training camp, and the knock on him is that for such a physical specimen, he does not take the ball away.
They got him to replace Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
Because Roquan Smith, a thrilling, game-changing player for the Ravens. Tremaine Edmonds, a very expensive, just kind of solid guy for the Bears the last couple of years. Do you need more than that? He's
their
fourth biggest cap hit this year, I believe.
Yeah.
Your fourth biggest cap hit needs to show up on the field.
Yeah, he needs to be somebody that we talk about on game day. Jason, we'll watch the back end of the roster as they get ready for this Chiefs game on Friday night. And then we will be with you all throughout cuts the following week and then the lead up to the Vikings opener. Until then, you can follow Jason and I on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website, or if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason, I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.